As we prepare to hear scripture read, let us join together in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, open our ears to the truth of your word, that the testimony of Christ may be strengthened among us and the glad news of deliverance revealed. Amen. Today we receive the blessing of hearing God's word for us today, found in two scripture readings. The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 to 7, and our second reading is from the Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 29 to 42. Let us listen together to the word of our Lord. Listen to me, O coastlands, pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him? For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength, he says. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. And from the Gospel of John. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven and like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" And Jesus said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. And he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at Simon and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. These are the words of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, today I'm going to tell you a unique way I use to relax. And I hope that it's not too strange, considering that this is the day in which church members will determine whether I'll be the next installed pastor here at the church. But I want to share with you that sometimes when I am stressed or worn out and in need of a break, I will open my Airbnb and HomeAway apps on my phone and start planning a vacation. Chosen location may be a place that has come up in conversation or I've seen advertised in social media. So I'll peruse the listings of homes for rent in the location I would love to visit. Now, most of these places are set in warm beach locales. I might even Google that location to see what type of activities I or my family could enjoy in that location. Now, that part isn't odd. I mean, we all plan vacations. Lots of people love to take vacations or road trips. But what is slightly unusual is that most of my saved rental houses and location activities just remain plans. I likely will never get to my chosen destination anytime soon, but there's something calming and relaxing to me about thinking about getting away. Now, of course, there are times when the vacation does come true, where I have a weekend away with a group of girlfriends or go with my family somewhere like we did this past July, but most of my travel planning never becomes reality. And like I said, still there's just something relaxing to me about dreaming of another getaway. And for whatever reason, travel planning relaxes me with a promise I might just get away from it all. Maybe that's why I'm the designated travel planner in my circle of family and friends, or why I enjoy planning mission trips for church groups. Each time I open my Airbnb app on my phone, there's a question across the top saying, "What can we help you find, Sarah?" It's like the question in today's gospel, "What are you looking for? Am I looking for a condo on the beach, an apartment in the city, or a cabin in the woods?" What are you looking for? It's the same question asked when we walk into a store or any place prepared to provide a service to the customer. And it's the same question Jesus asked John's disciples when he noticed that they were following him. Jesus's first words in the Gospel of John appear in the form of a question. A pretty ordinary question with extraordinary significance. What are you looking for? Now, English translations obscure the true meaning of the Greek, which is better translated, "What are you seeking?" Jesus' ministry begins not with a mighty command to silence a demon, as in Mark, nor with a sermon to the crowds who have gathered on a mountain, as in Matthew, and not with a quotation from Isaiah to proclaim his anointing for the year of God's favor, as it is in Luke. But it begins with a question. What are you seeking? What are you looking for? It's a good question to ask as we begin a new year full of possibilities and growth and experiences, good or bad. It's the question maybe we have heard at significant moments of our own lives when we prepare or complete life achievements and goals. What are you looking for in a college, your first job, in a future spouse? What are you seeking? I felt God asking me those questions about 6 months ago. I was beginning my 9th year of ordained ministry, surrounded by some wonderful mission and ministry work God had guided myself and the church I was serving to create. And yet I heard God, questions that he was asking. What are you seeking? What motivates you, Sarah? What is that that you really need? Not just on the surface, but deep down into the core of your being. What are you looking for? And it became apparent to me through the work of the Holy Spirit that I needed a different community to serve and to lead. But where would that community be? I didn't know at the time, but I did know that a time of discernment was necessary. And so I began engaging in thoughtful discernment. Now, part of the discernment process often for pastors in our denomination is to complete our personal information form through the Church Leadership Connection. The form includes a series of questions to be answered in the areas of church work, personal strengths and challenges, and a personal description of the church a pastor would like to serve. This form is then matched with churches who, in some respect, have done the same thing as they are seeking a new pastor to join their church in ministry. I always love telling people it's a little bit like online dating. Pastor and church meet online and look at each other's forms. Then maybe they talk by phone or email, then by person, until they reach that critical moment where they part ways or the church extends a call. But the practice of answering questions in the form became a tool in discerning God's leading towards a new call. It became clear through a number of experiences in Du Bois that God was calling me to leave even before I was aware of where or when I would serve. And as difficult as it was to watch, I experienced resistance to any suggestion for change, difficulty in church relationships that had been good, and began feeling a personal feeling of ministry fatigue. I knew, or at least realized now, that these were moments in which I was being guided to look beyond ministry in my current location. So I answered questions in my profile and articulated a vision of partnership I desired with a future congregation. I emphasized my desire to serve alongside God's people who will allow me to be vulnerable, teachable, curious, and passionate, just as they seek to be with me. I described my hope to engage with a ministry setting where the leaders and members aren't afraid to dream, imagine, and try new things. And when new things cease, they don't look at it as failure. I described a setting I prayed for in which people genuinely love one another, communicate openly, and know when to have fun and find humor in a situation. I stated clearly to Jesus what I was searching for, and I waited to see what Jesus would say back. Jesus poses the same question, "What are you looking for?" to two of John's disciples who, having just learned that Jesus is the Lamb of God, are determined to follow him. These two disciples, for their part, want something different than either the crowds or the authorities want. They want simply to be with Jesus. And they answer Jesus' question with one of their own. Where are you staying? Where are you staying? Where can we find you? Where shall we go to be with you to receive what you have to offer? Where can we be in the very presence of God? They want to know about the enduring, permanent, eternal, undying dwelling place of this Lamb of God. They deflect Jesus' question that cuts to the core of their meaningless existence and ask a question of their own. Rabbi, where are you staying? And in other words, they say, where are you making your home in the world? I was asking this question as well. Where are you dwelling, Lord Jesus? And I soon discovered that God was making it possible for me to come to a church in an interim position so that I might be where God was doing good work. Jesus answered me with an invitation to come and see what he was doing in Lewistown Presbyterian Church, and I knew that I had to go and follow him. The truth is, Jesus makes it possible for us to fully experience his presence every time we ask him. When we proclaim our desire to be with our Lord, the Lord responds with an invitation to come and see. And as we know, Jesus always delivers. In the case of the disciples, their response to come and see ended up with them staying with Christ for the rest of their lives. And in my case, a willingness to leave a setting allowed me to discover the enduring things that Christ is doing among your church community. The mutual discernment of the pastor nominating committee and I has led us to discover that we are meant to dwell in ministry and mission and fellowship with one another and the people of this community for the time being. This, we believe, is the will of our Lord for Lewistown Presbyterian Church. God's desire, though, does not come without challenges. It was the same for the disciples who followed Christ. They were required to pick up their crosses and at times endure the challenges of mutual ministry and community with one another and the people around them. We have and will endure challenges as well. It has been challenging to live in Lewistown while Jim and Mackenzie live in Dubois. It has been difficult for me to feel like I'm offering my best self to the church and my family in this interim time. And I am aware that a few have left this church because of disagreement with decisions made by the PNC and session. And it's sad that they choose to leave this community, no doubt. But I trust that God will call them to participate in a new worshiping community where their beliefs are shared and welcomed. I think of ordained ministers before me and those, honestly, who will come after me as they have been and will be invited to come and see what God is doing through the members and friends of Lewistown Presbyterian Church. And acknowledging those ministers who have come before me and remembering that there will be others after me reminds me to be grateful that Jesus invites me to be a part of the faithful story being written and weaved among us. And that those who have been called to serve as ministers of this community, they have brought unique gifts and abilities to their role as pastor, as I will bring unique gifts and abilities as pastor to you. Disciples are those who want to stay with Jesus, wherever that stay may be and wherever it may take them. The call for all of us is both exciting and challenging. But my friends, it is never, ever ordinary. Christ's invitation to come and see required a response from the two men who approached him, and it required a response from me. And today, Jesus eagerly awaits a response from you to come and see what we can do together as he leads us in Lewistown. Jesus invites all of us to abundant life and community as we build relationships with one another and with those who lead us in Christ's church. The prayers that I spoke to our Lord Jesus Christ to bring my family and I to a worshiping community that isn't perfect, but is faithful to the call placed on the body of Christ to spread the good news of the gospel has been answered. What are you looking for? What do you need? What are you seeking? It is a question worth wrestling with as individuals, as families, and as a church community. And I would be blessed and honored to explore those questions with each of you inside and outside the walls of Christ Church. To God be the glory, always and forever. Amen. I invite you to join with me in our next song of praise, if you would stand.